So just to take a quick review, we started last week talking about spiritual gifts, and we said that spiritual gifts were a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit given to each one for the common good. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say that to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for the building up of the body. That's the purpose. And that includes everything we do. It's not just about us getting together like this and having worship times, though the Holy Spirit we ought to be using our gifts and talents in those times. But it's also for the service we do within and outside the body of Christ. And so these spiritual gifts are for this purpose. Now, on that chart that I gave you, we also said last week that the Holy Spirit gives us the gifts as He chooses in accordance with the will of God. So we don't have a total say in what we have as a gift. Some people say, well, I want that gift. And sometimes the motives for people asking for that gift is incorrect. In other words, we're to use the gifts He's given us for His glory. And every believer has a spiritual gift. My interpretation of that passage, to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit. It's one manifestation of the Spirit, but it could be a unique blending of all the gifts or a portion of the gifts so that you can do specifically what God has called you to do in the context of His mission in the church for your lives. And so we have, sometimes people say, well, you get a spiritual gift inventory, and there's somebody say, I got these three top ones. Hey, praise the Lord if that's what it is. But sometimes you can kind of fool those spiritual gifts inventories too. I think the main thing is to realize that we have a gift and that we need to get to work using it. But if we just are led by the Spirit, I believe that that spiritual gift will manifest itself in all of our lives if we just figure out a way to be led by the Spirit as we serve one another in the body. So that's kind of the beginning of this. Now, the other thing we see on this chart that I gave you, there's some opinions in here I need to talk about, especially this Ephesians chapter 4 passage and also a little bit of that Ephesians chapter 12 passage. It's Ephesians chapter 4. Some will look at this and say that those refer specifically to the offices of the church rather than to spiritual gifts. I tend to look at it as these are believers with special gifts given to serve in those positions. And so I think these are gifted people that God has gifted by His Spirit, obviously, to serve in these particular positions. And some of those positions today, people will look at and say, well, you know, the apostles is only for the apostolic age. But there are other groups out there today that are saying, no, the apostolic age, there's a new apostolic renewal or something like that. You may have heard of some of that. I'm not going to argue that one way or the other. Kind of depends on how we define apostleship and in today's context. And so we'll get into that down the road because we will talk about it. But tonight what I want to talk about with you is this, and it's more of a discussion. They're gifts for lending a helping hand. And there's four of them that we're going to look at tonight. And they're listed right here. And those are service, helps, giving, and mercy. And now they're all kind of closely connected in a way, but they're all designed to help in the context of the local church and to help one another in the local church. And so let's just talk about the first one, and I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 12 tonight, and we'll just take and read this list again. I should have been ready. I should have had it opened up to Romans 12 already, and I didn't. Okay, thin page Bible. I'm having a problem here. My fingers are, there we go. There's, I know where Romans is really, I know it's in the New Testament. So anyway, my fingers couldn't get working here. Let me read to you this passage again in Romans chapter 12, looking at verse 8 through 10. And it reads this way. Did I write the wrong verse numbers down there? Oh, yeah, I did. It should be 6. Okay. Let me read to you starting from verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. I was reading from the first column instead of the second column. Okay, that's where I got mixed up. But that happens once in a while. My mind's on a lot of different stuff right now. So this work of service, if you look in the King James Version and some other versions, it'll be translated as works of, or the spiritual gift of ministry. And it's translated from the Greek word diakonia. Diakonia means service. It's a word which relates very closely to the word deacon, diakonos, which is a servant minister. And so this has the idea of service ministering in the church. Now, there's various aspects of that. The service of those who prepare and present food is one of the things that Strong talks about. The other one is helping meet the needs or by either collecting or distributing charities, charitable contributions, and so forth. But it has to do with rendering service to others. It's primarily looking at a physical work or service activity, works that support the church mission and those in the church that have needs. Now, when we look at this, we're going to understand something, that these other ministries sound the same, but they have, these other spiritual gifts sound the same, but they are slightly different in context. And so let's go through all of them, then go back through and talk about how they actually look individually in the church. Does that make sense? So we'll just look at all four of these, and then we'll go back and we'll discuss them. Okay, that's kind of the plan for tonight. The second one we're going to talk about is the gift of helps. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, we read about the gifts of helping, and the Greek word for helping, you can read that about Vine and Bruce. I took it out of their word study materials, and but let me just read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Okay, 28 through 30. It reads, if one member suffers, all suffer together. One member is honored, all rejoice together. I'm in the wrong place. 1 Corinthians, 12. I'm in 13. No, I'm in 12. 28. And God is appointed. Yeah, that's what I was getting to. I was just reading the preface there. Okay. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. And then he goes, are all apostles, all prophets? He's talking about the issue of there are certain gifts that people have, and not all have the same gift. But so as we look at that, we take a look and we see here the gifts of, like I talk, gifts of healing. It's actually gifts of healings. And then helping, administering. Administering. The word administering deals with this issue of kind of administration. And the word in, of helping here used in Vines, he talks about it. It says it signifies laying hold of an exchange, and then you go down a little bit further. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 as one of the ministrations in the local church by way of rendering assistance, perhaps especially ministering to the weak and the needy. Now, the person with this gift is someone that really wants to help people in need. They want to help someone that's got an issue, a problem. It differs slightly from the gift of mercy, because the gift of mercy we're going to talk about in a second, it talks about that which is essentially to bring comfort, whereas helps has the idea of meeting primarily physical needs, though it is not limited to just the physical, but it's primarily helping somebody or someone or helping in the church in some way. Whereas in this case, it's really focused on helping somebody with needs. And the gift of mercy, on the other hand, has the idea of comfort built into it. Does that make sense, everybody? So we'll get to that one in a second. And we'll talk about some examples and how this gift of helps might be used in the mission of the church. Now, the gift of giving is a pretty simple one to understand. But the problem is that we're all called to be givers in the church, right? I mean, Paul, when he went to the church in Corinth, he wanted every member of the congregation, each one of them, to give a collection for the saints. That's when he took that Jerusalem relief fund he was picking up and taking back into Jerusalem. So we're all to give, but the person that has the gift of giving is very interesting because that person enjoys giving beyond the norm. Does that make sense? It's a supernatural gift, and God funnels money or materials through this person. That's the way it happens. He just funnels that stuff through them. And I've run into people like this. They would never seek for anyone to know that they had this particular gift or that they actually gave the money out. They don't want anybody to know about it, but they just give. They find a need, and they meet the need. There was a guy that we knew up in Chicago when I got saved, and I got too prematurely moved to be an elder in a church up there, actually after 3 years as a believer. It was much too soon to be an elder. But I was made an elder, and because I guess they thought I was some kind of spiritual person, and I should do that. And so they did. They made me an elder in a church. But I met this guy. He always drove a two-year-old Buick. That's what he drove around in a car. He didn't buy a fancy big car or anything like that. He had a very simple car, very modest guy. But he helped missionaries come back from overseas. He bought them houses. He bought churches, church property so that they could build. I mean, that's what he did. And God just blessed this guy financially. And he would never want anyone to know about it. The only reason I knew about it was because we were looking for money to build, to get property to build a church up there. It was a church plant that I was involved with. And I met him. And I just could see it right in him that he enjoyed giving people money. And it was, but only if it meant a need that God put on his heart, okay? So it wasn't like he was willy-nilly going around like, remember the old show, The Millionaire? Okay, he wasn't just willy-nilly going around giving people millions of dollars. If he found a real need, spiritual need, and the Lord put on his heart to do it, he was going to meet that need, not in a normal way, in a very extraordinary way. And so praise the Lord for these kinds of folks. And then the last one we're going to talk about here is the gift of mercy. Paul uses the verb here, eleo, which means to have mercy, to help one afflicted or seeking aid, to help the afflicted, to bring help to the wretched. The believer with this gift has a special burden for those afflicted with an ability, a supernatural ability, to comfort and encourage that person. So these are the kinds of folks that would say, you know, you're hurting, and they would give you a word of encouragement that would encourage you to go through the process, unlike some people. And, you know, when you go into the hospital, what you hear normally is the horror stories, you know. So I've had all these people tell me how bad everything was going to be. But they have these certain people that can bring you a word of comfort and encouragement. And what they're doing is showing you that God is really in control and he's with you in it. That's a person with mercy. And they have this burden and passion on their heart to bring comfort where there's hurting. It's a very special gift. But the church definitely needs these kinds of people. And so when we find those gifts, then we have to use those for his glory. So the question I've got now, that we've kind of surveyed those, now let's go back through and discuss them. Talk about the gifts for lending a helping hand. And the first one was service, this ministry or service in the church. Based upon the definition that we discussed there and all these definitions, what types of activities could be part of somebody using that particular gift? Pardon? In the kitchen? Yeah, the kitchen would be a good one. And we got a wonderful group of people working the kitchen here. Those Wednesday night meals, I tell you, they are just about professionally done as I could imagine. They are really good. And then we saw a lot of work done here during the VBS too. 200 meals about a night, something along that lines. I forget it. I don't even know how many were here, how many children were here, but it was a gang. It was good. So working in the kitchen. What other kinds of service work?
Jimmy
works on the air conditioners. And he does that gratis. The only thing he asks for is somebody to buy the parts, and that's where the gift of giving comes in. Somebody could give the money to buy the parts for him. But so he does that. I was thinking of Sean too. Sean does a lot of plumbing work around here, and there's a lot of people who do a lot of different service work. And we got the people that work when we were in the other building, up in that sound booth, that's a work of service, the way I would see it. So there's a lot of different ways that people can use their gifts. And so sometimes it's a combination of the talents that people have developed, the skills that they've developed, the secular skills, and those can be used. But to have a passion to offer those in the church, I believe that's what comes from the Lord.
Kids' ministries or nursery?
They're working in the nursery. I think that's a special gift all in itself. You have to have a real passion, in my opinion, to work with kids in a nursery. But anyway, toddlers, I think, are the ones. They're the hard ones to keep control of, right? They're kind of... Yeah, I went up and visited most of the classes that were going on during the VBS. And I'll tell you, I'm not a child evangelist, okay? I just don't... But I watched how some of the folks that were teaching communicated with the kids, and there was a gift. That's more the gift of teaching, but a gift of the teaching just used in a very particular way. And I didn't have that gift. I tried my best. Okay, that's what the pastor is supposed to do. And my gift is more with people like this and older folks. Dale. Amen. Picking people up, taking them to church is another way that can be a service. And that can border in line in some other gifts too, like the helps and mercy too. If someone can't get out, it may tie in. You see, one of the things with these gifts, the way you may be gifted in a certain area, but that doesn't mean you can't be used to serve in a particular place in the church. You may have a gift of helps or a gift of mercy. And somehow that gift of mercy can be used in a service area in the church as well. Because sometimes you're just being there and giving a word of encouragement when you got a bunch of people running around and you got a couple people complaining about something, which happens unfortunately. And you have that gift of encouragement. You're the one that goes to the person that's discouraged and gives them that word and really helps pick them up and take them through, saying it's okay. It's the way it is. And unfortunately, that's the way church works sometimes. So gifts. We got a good idea what these service gifts might be. Let's talk about gift of helps. How does that differentiate? When I talked about helps, it mainly was dealing with people in need. So how might the gift of helps fit into the whole program?
Well, the jail ministry.
That could be, yeah. It could be. The jail ministry could be helps. How about in the church body itself? I think we just shared one, which is picking people up, driving them to worship service on Sunday morning. That's a help. If they can't drive or they don't have a car or no way of transportation, if you can pick them up and bring them in, that definitely is a help, isn't it? What other kind of things might... The, pardon? Meal train. Yeah, I think so. Meal train would be one. I know we set up these meal trains and people jump in there and cook and do all kinds of cool stuff. It's good.
Lifeguard ministry.
Pardon?
Lifeguard ministry.
Helping that way too with the lifeguards. Getting them some food, which I think is
prison
really good.
Ministries.
Pardon?
Prison ministries.
Prison ministries. Yeah, the room in the inn would be a great one for help. How about when somebody here needs to go to hospital,
sure,
and they don't have wheels, or they're just so incapacitated they can't get there? I know that there are people here that will go pick them up and drive them to the hospital. I've seen that. And they want to do this. And in the church I pastored up in New Hampshire, that happened a lot. We had people there that were just willing to go take folks to the hospital if they really needed it. And, a lot of the medical procedures that were done in Boston. And that could be up to a 3-hour drive, depending on the time of day that you were going to get to the Boston hospital. So we had people that were willing to drive and just do that kind of service that ministry of helps. Mowing people's lawns, if they can't. I had somebody offer to mow my lawn for me because I'm not going to be able to do any heavy lifting or any real strenuous activity for, as they say, 4 to 6 weeks. And so somebody offered to help, and that's a gift of helps, right? So good. We got that one down. Gift of giving, anybody got it? We don't have to really talk about that, do we? We can give in so many different ways. And I just explained a lot of them to you from this one guy that I knew. But how about anything else that I didn't think about as far as how the gift of giving could help? Pardon? Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And the offerings, sometimes some people will give large amounts of money. And I also knew other people that gave stock gifts to church that we passed it up in New Hampshire. And when I went and took that church over in 2009, they said they only had 6 months and they were going to shut the doors and they wouldn't be able to pay me anymore, basically. They were going to move into a garage in somebody's house. And that's where we were. And we just started praying and trusting God. We'll talk about that, the gift of faith, in a couple weeks probably. But we just started trusting God. We were praying, and we just trusted. And I absolutely believed that God was going to rescue this old church. And every week, people started coming through the doors that knew, and we kept putting more and more chairs out. We had chairs. We didn't have pews. We just kept putting more chairs out. And a guy in the sound booth would say, we met every Tuesday morning, and every Tuesday morning he'd say, we need to put another row of chairs out. I said, okay. I wasn't keeping count of how many people were there. I was just preaching and praying. That was really about it. And it wasn't me. God didn't want that church to fold. So people were coming in. And all of a sudden, I asked him, well, how are we doing financially? 6 months later, I said, you told me you'd give me 6 months. They said, oh, you got another 6 months. I said, well, we haven't lost any ground. Hallelujah. So we kept going. And in 2 years' time, I started getting, somebody would come in from the accounting department and said, somebody just sent us an anonymous stock gift for $30,000. I thought, and we would get about $60,000 worth of stock gifts a year. And that really just threw us over the top. So then we could start doing some building maintenance that we had put off for so long. So somebody had a gift of giving. And I didn't even know who it was.
And I'm thinking on a much smaller scale. Sometimes we think we can't do something big, we can't do something, but I was just thinking about Shelton just bringing his extra vegetables.
Amen.
And put them on the table and sharing. Sharing is a giving.
Amen.
And we do that a lot in the summer. Just to me, that's a ministry.
Amen. So there's all kinds of ways you can give. It's not just with money, but that's primarily what we think about. It's really, when we look at this definition, it's an interesting thing because it's not self-seeking, openness of heart manifesting itself by generosity. That's in Strong's concordance. So it's the giving of self without selfish motives. It's the giving without any desire for something to come back to you and not giving to get glory from anybody. We know that our reward isn't here anyway. Our true reward is in heaven. So it's not self-seeking. Okay, and the last one is the gift of mercy. How does the gift of mercy fit in? What would someone with the gift of mercy do?
Well,
Amen. It'd be willingness to listen, sit down with folks. They just know the right thing to do at the right time. You know, sometimes you don't need to say a lot of words to bring comfort, do you? Anybody? We had some situations in New Hampshire. We had a woman that lost her child in childbirth. And Chris and I went up to visit with her. And she was hurting. And you could sense it. But I walked over and I just held her hand. That was it. And just to show I was there. I had no real words to help her, you know, except to weep with her and to feel her pain a bit, and to let her know that we were there for her. That's all we had. There's no way you can. I've never been through anything like it, and there's no way I could really say words that would help her. Now, we did have a woman in the congregation that went through the same thing, and when she found out about it, she went over, and she was the one that could really comfort in that very specific situation, because she had been there, and she knew the pain. I could just empathize with it. I guess but I had never felt it. And so, but those are the kind of things I think that we fail to realize, that just being present with somebody is a real comfort. And sometimes you don't have to say anything. You can listen to them. And you know what will happen? A lot of people say, I don't want to talk about it. That's what they'll tell you. I don't want to talk about this problem I'm having. And you get alone with them, and what's the first thing that happens? You're not going to talk about it. You're not going to ask them questions about it. They're pouring their heart out and telling you the whole story. And what they really want is someone just to unload and bare their soul. It's a good point. So, very good. Any other thoughts about the gift of mercy? Okay. So, let's talk about how they fit in a couple things. How would the gift of help with the area of evangelism? How could that be useful in evangelism, do you think?
Well, some of these things, like room at the inn, I don't think they let you share faith with the people. But I think when you're dropping off the food, you know, you can talk with the people that are taking it from mm-hmm. you. And I think the prison ministry, because they're in a bad place, they're not happy being there. And so many of the New Testament took place in jail, so you had like a perfect opportunity to share Christ with people.
Amen.
Jesus fed people and shared, so I guess that's where we get it.
So when you look at Jesus' ministry, that's right. Jesus did what? He fed. When he went out, what did he do? He fed the
5,000.
He healed the sick. Oh, I don't know that any of us are doctors in here. We might have medical missionaries at some point in the congregation, but there was definitely Jesus fed them. Jesus brought healing to those in need, and we can bring healing too. We can bring a prayer to people, and we might not be able to physically heal them, but we could definitely pray for them as they're going through this situation. And that's more along the lines of mercy, I guess you would think about that. Feeding folks. You know, one time we had a ministry where we decided to help people by going out and taking care of some folks that couldn't care for their own property. They weren't part of the church. But we just decided we'd go up there and help them. We'd break the leaves that piled up about a foot high and get their yards all cleaned up for them. And it was just to help them. And then the college students decided to do that. They said we could go out there and we could help these people. And that would help reach them. Did they come to the church and be part of the church? No, but I think it demonstrates the love of Jesus when we help people that can't help themselves. And we just put ourselves out there. I think it really does minister. It does, you know, in Matthew chapter 5 or 16 says, Therefore, let your light shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What it does when we do these kinds of works and these works of helping folks on the inside and the outside of the church, it really brings glory to God. And when if people will start focusing vertically and seeing what God can do through a bunch of people who love Jesus, it has to have a witness in them, if nothing else in lifestyle. And often we'll have the opportunity opened up to us. I was involved with a mission to New Orleans on three occasions where we gutted out homes. And when we were down there doing those mud outs, we would often meet with people that owned those homes. And there was a pastor down there that was setting all this up. He was living in a trailer outside of his church building, which was uninhabitable yet because that had been flooded. And we went down there to help these folks. And you would be surprised that the warm reception we got. We even were in an area where there were, I'm sure it was a crack house down the street that had been set up. And we went down there and somebody, be careful where you are. These guys came out of that house and they just wanted to express their appreciation to us from going in there and trying to help their community get back on its feet again. But I know they were up to no good, if you know what I mean. I just could tell from looking at what was going on. You see the cars stop by and then they go again. You know, it's like there was something happening there. But yet to us, who were strangers in the area, they were so cordial with us because we were in that community trying to help that community come back to life again. And so those kinds of things, I think, do have an influence. And those are all gifts of help. And so those things have an influence evangelistically, though we may not see the fruit now, but we will see it in some day. One man said that this gift about mercy is the ability to work joyfully with those whom the majority ignores. What kinds of people does the majority ignore today? Okay.
Downtrodden, different culture.
Different cultures, the downtrodden. How about, let's think about, the guy that said this ran a ministry that I was involved with, and his ministry was to preach the gospel to those that the world had forgotten. And so he went into the prisons, the kids' homes where the kids were locked up. He went into the nursing homes. He went in all these different places and preached the gospel and loved on the people there. So we got involved in a lockup for kids that was between the ages of 7 and 17, and also in a nursing home that we got involved with. And so that's what we did. And it was really a good ministry. And we had a lot of those kids came to faith in Jesus through that. I was impressed. One of the times I got up there and we did worship service with them on every other Sunday. And when I had them bow their heads and I prayed the prayer of salvation with them, I asked who wanted to get saved, and four of the counselors raised their hand. That was phenomenal. And then the counselors told me afterwards, about a month or so later, they said, you know, this is working. These kids are changing. They had behavior, it was a behavior modification unit. There were behavioral issues. And they said, the gospel's working. And we got letters from these kids that said, you know, how Jesus had changed their lives around. And it was just phenomenal to see what God was doing in there. And we had the same reception in the nursing home, too. It was really wonderful. And so there are a lot of people out there, the homeless people, the people at Dare Challenge that are in there through drug rehab. All these folks are kind of, in a way, society's kind of put them off into a group and society doesn't do much about them, but the church can get engaged and it's all good. Well, anyhow, that's it for tonight. We kind of exhausted those four gifts, and I encourage you just to think about those and think about how maybe that's a passion. One of those things might be a passion on your heart. So let us pray about that, and then we're going to pray for these needs and we'll be able to get over it. Father, I thank you for the spiritual gifts that you give, and the fact that in this body of believers, every one of the gifts that are necessary for us to accomplish what you've called us to accomplish is here. We praise you for it. Thank you for it. And Lord, we pray now as we continue on in our prayer time that you would just bless us in a powerful way.